Welcome back to another episode of Girls with Fun.
Hey, how are you doing? It's been a minute again.
It has. It has been a minute. I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm okay. You know, Sunday scaries. We just had my belated Thanksgiving celebration with my family. So we did like a turkey and all the sides. So whatever the chemical is that's in turkey is hitting hard. So I am dragging. I forgot the name of that chemical, but you all know what I'm talking about. So
I didn't know there was a chemical in turkey.
Yeah. It specifically makes you tired. So there's a scientific basis for everyone just like immediately crashing after.
I always thought it was all of the like carbs.
I mean, I'm sure that also contributes.
Yeah, I just called it the itis. That sounds nice. Yeah, day was not as eventful, which is a good thing.
You've been busy. You were on the, I don't know how much you want to talk about it on the track, but you were on the road last week. So how was your travel?
Dang. Yeah, that was last week.
Feels like 84 years.
It's just like the time is not real as a concept. I've been doing a lot of traveling back and forth. To Florida. And last week was one of those instances. I had a good time. Really nice being able to visit home, see family and friends. But like the event that I went to, COVID just like ran through it. And so like my mom has it and I'm like trying not to get it, and I shouldn't be putting her business out there, but like anyway, I am. And so I'm like playing nurse.
Oh no.
As well as chef, which is like fine. I'm just like trying to do a bunch of things at once, trying to get myself together as well as help my mom out. She was like, I feel bad that you're like doing everything. I'm like, you did it for me for I don't know how many years. I'm like, you do it for me when I'm not sick, so I feel like I can at least do it for a few days. It's okay.
That's so cute and touching. I'm sorry she's sick. I was thinking of your event and I wasn't gonna like talk about it that much, but can I just say that you are living your main character moment? Like the ball gown you wore to this like formal event was like stunning, and like you are the main character, so let me just hype you up a little bit. I'm sorry that your friends got sick, but I was like, she's really out here living the like fanfic ball gown moment.
Yeah, I didn't like, we have this event every year, and I liked my dress that I had last year. I just didn't feel as confident in it as I would have loved to, and so I was a lot happier this year, and a lot more confident, and a lot more things went right. Like, it's like, this thing happens every year, and it's chaotic every year, and every year it's like a mess just trying to like get there, get the hair and makeup done and do all this other stuff. But I feel like this time things went more smoothly. And so yeah, I had a very positive experience. And yeah, it's nice to take some time to, I don't know, dress up, dance, have a good time. So yeah. Well, things happened while we were away. Some major things happened while we were away. All four members, I should say, all remaining members of BTS have enlisted as of, was that Monday? Sunday?
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday? I can't recall.
I feel like maybe it was Monday, Tuesday, but I'm not confident.
Yeah.
Especially with the, like, 14-hour time difference or whatever.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about the announcement on the last episode. I don't think we were certain when it was happening. I think there were some rumors around about when they were enlisting, but yeah, it happened, and they are gone. which is weird. I don't think it's hit me yet, though. So I don't know. I have a feeling that like a month from now or so, I don't know, maybe 3 months, I'll be like, dang, they're actually gone. And then I'll like cry for real. But it hasn't hit me yet.
Yeah. I've been super sad, I'm not gonna lie. I think I felt like kind of, I thought I was desensitized, or maybe I was just like in denial, but having the remaining four go hit me really hard. Especially like on the first day of whatever those 2 days were, like seeing the seven of them all together, like I'm so happy and touched that they could all make it. Like I saw tweets saying that like it was basically outlining how far Jin and Hobie would have to travel. And I saw some tweets saying that like Suga only has like 2 days off as of right now, meaning he used his 2 days that he had to like be there for Bangtan. So I haven't like personally calculated his vacation, right? I have no idea if that's true, but crazy if true, right? Yeah, seeing them all together, seeing them all, well, I guess some of them had like hats and stuff, but like seeing them all like mostly bald, yeah, it just, it hit me. And like when I punched the, like, I have my little countdown timers, when I punched like the remaining four members in, I think that's like what kind of did me in. Mm. It was just really sad.
Yeah.
And I was trying to reflect on it because, like, all of the members are younger than me. But for some reason, like, seeing the Maknae line, like, enlist, I'm like, will the younger brothers be okay? Like, they're just babies. They can't be in the army, you know? Like, they're clearly not babies. They're full-grown men. But, like, at the same time, I just, like, feel extra anxious on their behalf. I don't know. Like, Jin, even Jin's like post about how he was like, I thought it would be funny, and then like the tears were streaming, I was like, see, no, no, not today.
Oh, Jin. That guy.
I think the fact that he's usually so upbeat and like so funny and like making a joke of everything, yeah, when he's like, yeah, no, I'm sad, I'm like, well, if you're sad, what the freak am I supposed to be doing? You know,
exactly.
And, like, our first time seeing Yoongi after months on end, which, like, what is our collective husband doing? Like, we can't have a pick. Like, it's the desert out here. But then Hobie was, like, posting from whatever vehicle he was in. So, Hoseok holding down the fort.
Yeah, I was wondering what Yoongi's enlistment would be like, considering that he's in a different position than the others are. And whether he would, like, be more active, because he technically can, since he's just like a, I'm assuming, I don't know fully what it is that he's doing, but he's like a regular desk job worker, that he could be more active on social media, but it appears that he's taking advantage of the fact that he doesn't have to be, and he can like truly be away. So, yeah, I mean, it's, I'm, like, sad not seeing him, but I don't blame him for, like, taking time to himself. But maybe some, months down the line, we'll get more interaction from him.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember you saying it was a possibility. Like, I remember us talking about this on a previous episode. Like, maybe he'll just really disconnect. And I certainly, like, can't blame him for that or hold it against him. I just, thinking back to all the times he was, like, hand signing notes or, like, going on VLive the night before his surgery, like, I just thought we might hear from him more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I can't blame him for wanting to take time. I mean, and I don't know the rules even fully. Like, maybe if he has a free vacation day that's not being spent for enlistment, right? Like, we will see something. I just don't know. And we're still getting Sujita, so it's not like he fully left us, like, you know, high and dry, let's say. But, yeah. I will say, I guess, like, June got us used to it. Like, I didn't think any of them looked weird. Like, I expected at least one of them to look weird with the shaved head, but I guess that's the power of just being, like, gorgeous, is that, like, you could shave your head and still be attractive. Like,
yeah.
Jimin in particular was being really shy and like, oh, I don't know if I want you to see it or whatever, and then he did it in his he was, like, showing his buzz cut in his last, like, Weverse Live, and I was like, yeah, it kind of suits you, like... Why does, like, buzz cut Jimin kind of work, you know?
I know, the way he was gassing it, I'm like, it's not even that serious. Like, you look cute. Like,
yeah.
Like, Jimin's just handsome regardless.
I know.
Like, you're not gonna
I was expecting him to look goofy the way he was talking about it. And then he showed it, and I was like, I mean, you look the same. You're Jimin with the buzz cut.
Like, I mean, we never seen Jimin with a buzz cut, I don't think, but it felt like... It felt like seeing Jimin from 2013 for some reason.
I was going to say, it took me back to like 2014 Jimin, so I agree with you.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I think that also made the transition easier is how silly they were being with it. JK, like, running through that live at 65 miles per hour to, like, not show his bald head and... I don't know. Just like that picture Tae and JK took on FaceTime with no clothes on.
Yeah. Mr. Like, Chapter 2 isn't about taking our shirts off. Like, exactly. Also, we got, like, on Namjoon's, like, side account, we got a shirtless pic from him the same day. And I'm like, I saw a tweet. Someone was like, BTS are really men because they're sending us, like, naked pics, like, to, like, distract us from being sad or whatever. Like, this solves everything. So, yeah. Also, I think I texted you in our group, like, the way Tae is just not even pretending to have a Samsung anymore, because, like, he posted that, like, FaceTime screenshot, but then he also, that same day, just did, like, a photo dump of, like, recent pics, and you can see, like, an iPhone and, like, 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah.
So it's just funny. It's like released from his contract for military service, and he's like, oh, and by the way.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, did the contracts stop? To your point, are the Samsung contracts over with since they've enlisted? Were they only for so many years?
Yeah, I don't know. You got us, like, all to buy Samsungs right before the contract
YOLO,
was
I'm
up.
Leaving anyway. What are you gonna do?
Yeah. Well, and he could also have two phones, celeb problem, or, like, you know, one for work, one for personal.
He definitely can, but just, like, the active denial of. Like, purposely eliminating tweets that were, like, Twitter from iPhone. Right. And having to change it to a Galaxy or Android or whatever. Like, how many years have we been doing that? And Tae's just like, screw it.
It makes me wonder kind of, like, how they perceive Weverse, right? Like, is he like, oh, this is close friends, like, private only? Like, what Samsung official is on Weverse, like, Mayday, Code Red.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but yeah, Tae does not GAF.
Yeah. Did we talk last time that he was going to be in some, like, special unit?
Mm-hmm. It was, like, a rumor, but yeah.
I can't recall what we talked about. That was 2 weeks ago.
It might as well have not happened. Like...
Exactly. I'm a new person every time I get on the track. Yeah, anyway. I just wonder how the next 6 months will pan out. 6+, I guess. Until whenever Jin gets back. But I guess we'll see.
I think HYBE is just going to hit us, like, fast and furious with merch. Like, they re-released the artist merch that we thought was gone, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
they re-released, or they did release the like video on demand permission to dance LA thing, which we didn't know about and talked about before. And now there's some kind of photo book they're releasing for the, I think December 20th, I think it's like this Wednesday, the drop of that documentary. And like, I don't know. Right. I just want to like take a breath right now. Personally speaking, I was like interested in getting the merch, but it's just a lot happening right now with like the holidays and stuff. I think I'm gonna pass on a lot of it for the moment.
I feel you. I'm also wondering if the members have prepared anything else in their absence. I mean, it sounds like Namjoon's doing something music related. I'm trying to figure out how he would do that. Would it be released on like SoundCloud or somewhere where he wouldn't generate revenue, or it wouldn't Maybe. Appear that he's generating revenue? And it also sounds like Tae's doing something as well. But that like show JK and Jimin's supposed to be on.
Yeah, that's a good point. But like, I assume BTS generates revenue from this, like Apple, or not Apple TV, from the Disney documentary. And like, so if, and I assume that like Sujita gets ad revenue from YouTube. I could be wrong about that if they like demonetize the videos, I guess, but I just really don't understand how that works, because if he like pre-recorded it, I mean, they're still releasing like videos of JK with hype for Golden and like the Usher drop and all of that. So I really, anyway, all this to say, like, I well and truly have no idea like what the rules are regarding this.
I mean, there must be something where it's like, if you did it prior to leaving, it's fine. But I also wonder, like, let's just say if some group project or whatever was released afterwards, because I'm imagining BTS get a cut of like whatever this photo book is, or is it just because it was done before they left, you can earn money off of it? Because otherwise they would be technically earning a cut, like you were saying. Or if, let's just say, theoretically, I'm thinking about other groups, them releasing like a group album, I imagine that the member that's not there still gets a cut of like whatever that group album is, even though there's only like four members or five or whatever for whatever that group made. So I'm like, is that fine? There has to be like all these like different concessions of how you can make money and how you can't when you're leaving. But that would be interesting to know what exactly it is, but I don't think we'll ever get that information. And we don't have a lawyer around that's fluent in Korean to offer
specifically
that,
like, so. A Korean lawyer who knows entertainment law, right?
Yeah.
Like, so really, who knows? One thing I was thinking about, even with like Yoongi and his supposed 9-to-5, right? Like, we know this man's like an absolute workaholic, right? So say he suddenly has all this like free time, or on the weekend he's like poking around on his computer, like, is he gonna have like all these songs he's written? Like, how does that work? Like, if you're in like public service, right? Like, can he work on songs on the weekend? Is that like him having another job? Would like any songs he work on have to be like for a mixtape later? Like, I just wish I knew.
Yeah, that's a good point. I imagine he could, but it's like he can't show up to Hybe and do it. Can he do it from home and it doesn't matter?
Yeah, the digital era is so confusing, right? What can you do from home versus not? And or even like, okay, say that like Namjoon pulled like the hipster college boy thing. I mean, okay, I'm really dating myself, like it's 2012, but he whips out his little moleskin notebook that he has by his bed and he's like writing all these lyrics like to use later, right? Like, how would that work? Like, I just don't know. I assume he's not. I assume he collapses into bed every night. Like,
I imagine you can, right? I don't see why you wouldn't be able to do that.
I mean, I don't see how that would be different than drawing on your everyday kind of like living experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, are there any like entertainment lawyers that know how this works? Please slide into our DMs.
I mean, if they're allowed their phones for a certain period of the day, they probably could even take notes in their phones.
Yeah. I heard that at least during the like basic training or whatever, they only get their phones for an hour a day on the weekends only, which is crazy. I mean, just think about like the way we all live on our phones these days as a chronically online person. If you were like, you can have this for one day, 1 hour on Saturday and 1 hour on Sunday, like how are you spending that hour? Like, what are you doing?
Right. I wonder if it's like seriously boring at some point, or is it kind of refreshing? Just to have like a change of pace. To be experiencing something different than what you're normally doing. But also, I'm sure there's nothing fun about military training. So, like, even if you do want to, like, slow down, you're like, but I don't want to be getting, like, screamed at to do drills.
Like, this would be fun if I didn't have to wake up at the butt crack of dawn and run 5 miles. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I was even thinking today, like, there's times when, like, I would love to get away from my phone, right? It's just so hard to avoid news or, like, constant pinging. Like, you know, it could be, like, kind of refreshing. Feel like you're on a retreat, but then I'm like, okay, but, like, at what cost?
Yeah.
So, for them specifically, I mean.
In the new year, I'm like, I need to somehow eliminate my TikTok use. I don't want to delete my account, but this has to stop. Like, the doom scrolling is insane.
It's funny because, like, I don't go on TikTok that much. And then, like, if I go on, it's for, like, 15 straight hours. Like, it's, like, very, like, I'm like, no, I'm not on like that. And then I, like, go on to look at, like, one video a friend has sent. And then I'm, like, 5 hours later and all those, like, health warnings that are, like, you've been scrolling for a long time. Are you okay? There's also, like, two kinds of people when I say, like, oh, there's a health warning. They're like, yeah, I hate those things. Or people are like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, so you don't understand me.
Yeah. At first, I would be like, all right, the lady is right. Let me get off. And now I'm like, girl, screw you.
Get out of my business.
Exactly.
You don't know me. Yeah.
TikTok is also becoming really annoying. It's like every other swipe is an ad.
Yes. Why are there so many?
Yeah. Every other swipe is a live. And it's like some live where they're selling something to me. And it's starting to get annoying. Like, I barely see content on there anymore. So I'm like, why am I using this?
I saw someone online call TikTok like QVC Lite because like every other thing is an ad.
You know, literally.
And I was like, they're so right, honestly. Yeah. Anyway, I'm very sad that they're enlisted. I low-key panicked when I looked at how many days we had. But Jen will be back in like 6 months. So I'm focusing on that. That's how I'm like get to the intermediate benchmark. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But should we really twist the knife in the wound and like throw some salt in it and talk about our main topic for the day?
I hope this is more of a happier conversation. You voted in a recent poll that we should start our member series finally. I don't know, we've probably been talking about this for a year. So of course at the end of the year we're starting it. Yeah. And what a better time than when they are away to think about them more. So
that's the salt in the wound. Not that I'm like sad to talk about it, but just like exactly. You know, thinking about them in depth, opening the floodgates.
Yeah. Well, of course we should start with our leader. So today's episode is all about RM.
The man, the myth, the legend.
I was like, this should be a fun episode for Julie.
The question is, like, how can I keep myself from going completely unhinged and, like, barking on the track or something?
I mean, don't bark, but this is, if it's the time to be unhinged, like, this is it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, honestly, like, preparing for this episode was, like, a pretty humbling experience, because I feel like that's my man, and I'm gonna stand beside him, but then, like, the more research I did, like, the more I realized there was so much I still didn't know about him, like, especially when you go back to, like, the pre-debut era, there's so much that's just, like, murky, or I was like, oh, I had no idea he collabed with that person, or I had no idea that he went by that name. So, I mean, honestly, I think the names were the things that, like, surprised me the most. Like, I should have known that, and I just, like, did not, or maybe I forgot, but I texted you that, like, bro was out here changing his name, like, every 3 days. Like, I knew Runch Rhonda, obviously, but, like, I had no idea about, it was Largo, right? That was the other name he had. And then there was a third one. It was like Nexus or something, yeah, like that. Yeah. I had never heard of Largo or Nexus. And they said he talked about it in, like, Bon Voyage 2, I think. So I was like, what was I doing? Just, like, staring at him lovingly and, like, not reading the captions? Like,
how did I not know this? It's so much to consume. You could easily,
yeah,
miss that.
Yeah. So, like, right off the bat, I was like, humble yourself. Like, there's still more to learn.
Yeah, I, while spending, my day was uneventful, but it was literally me watching Namjoon content for about, like, 4 or 5 hours, so is that uneventful? I don't know.
Amazing. That sounds like a perfect day, to be honest.
I haven't had a day like that in a while to just do, like, pretty much nothing, so, I'll take it. It was nice. In doing all of that, I learned that we are still getting to know them, just like you were saying, and they are still getting to know themselves. I feel like that was a constant narrative with at least Namjoon. We're watching him grow, and he's still learning more about himself and revealing that to us. But yeah, I guess that's life. We're all still continuously growing and becoming new with each day. So, yeah, it was cool to watch his evolution over the last at least 10 years. Do we start from the beginning, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think just one other thing I want to say before we jump into the content, like, reading a couple of these links that you shared and, like, digging through the really old content, like, it's kind of how I feel about, like, the demise of Twitter/X or whatever, and, like, the Gen Z will be like, what is she talking about? But, like, millennials and older will know just how we move from, like, MySpace to Facebook to Instagram to Snap to TikTok to, like, wherever. Like, so much of this early stuff is, like, on old, like, forums or, like, net cafes or whatever you want to call them. And then they're like, yeah, but they were all, like, taken down or deleted, so we only have, like, reposts, or, like, you know, we can only deduce this via comments that someone else made. It's very much like that Pepe Silvia meme I always talk about with, like, all the red strings from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, right? Yeah. Like, but I'm so grateful that we have, like, army historians out here, because I feel like if it were up to BTS themselves, I feel like they would just be like, and it all started in 2013. Before 2013, I did not exist, you know?
Well, they kind of did in that book.
Exactly. Well, that's what I mean. I was specifically thinking about that book, and I'm like, if it was up to this book, like, none of this would ever be mentioned.
Yeah.
So I'll stop my, like, tinfoil rant there, but, like, I'm so grateful for the people that are, like, digging through these forums, and specifically people who can, like, read these, like, Korean comments, because if it was not for them, like, we would have no idea.
Right. I saw this thread on Twitter a while ago, talking all about Namjoon and a little bit about the group itself as well and its origins. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we did this kind of deep dive into the group as well as into the members themselves? So that's how we got here. So specifically, we'll shout out Twitter and Reddit user Bapesade. Thank you for your hard work and putting all that together. We could also post that thread.
Yeah, I was just gonna say we should definitely share all these links today.
Yeah, we can post that in the description of this episode. So, first I'll start off. What were you doing in June or September of 2007?
I actually didn't exist also. I too was not born until much later. No. I 2007. I must have been like a freshman in high school or like maybe a sophomore. I graduated high school in 2010. So, yeah. I was probably like, what was I doing at that time? Being like a big nerd. It was probably watching Avatar The Last Airbender on Friday nights on Nickelodeon. Yeah, I was in high school. I was probably doing the play. I was probably rowing. Yeah, just doing high school stuff. I was not rapping in underground clubs. I could leave it there.
Yeah.
What were you doing in 2007?
I was in seventh grade.
Wow, this is where the age difference is weird. Not as adults, but like me, the sophomore, hanging out with you in seventh grade.
Exactly. Oh, God. I was in seventh grade. So that means Namjoon was like an eighth grader. Like, by American terms. He was in middle school.
He was your, sunbae. Your upperclassman. Yeah.
He's like 13.
I want to know, like, again, maybe Korea is like so safe, but to have a child at age 13 being like, I'm going to this underground club, bye. My parents would be like, you don't even have a cell phone yet, B. Like, here's some quarters for the payphone.
Right. I was trying to figure out how this happens. You just like, Mom, I'm going out to hang out with my friends.
She's like, I have a study date. The old, like, yeah. I'm going to so-and-so's house to study. And meanwhile,
be back before the street lights come on. And like, no, he's not, because he's at a club.
It's also got to be like nighttime, right? So she's like, you were studying from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
But maybe that kind of works, because don't they have like the Hagwons or whatever?
Yeah, and maybe they,
like, study late at night.
So Mom's paying for this Hagwon that you never go to.
I'm just trying to figure out how you do that. Even if he didn't do this specifically when he's 13, right? Maybe he... No, because this, like, Black Pirates thing is, it's like early 2008, yeah, which we haven't even gotten there yet. Yeah, he's at a club on a Sunday. Yeah, I don't know. Is it a teen club, or is it just like
really
a...
cool? Do you think he was really cool and like was blending in at the club, or was everyone like, what's this 13-year-old
exactly
doing?
He was legit.
Is it like one of those under 21 clubs where it's like all the high schoolers go, or like, you know, the 18 right plus?
I don't know.
No one's checking ID. I just have so many questions. I mean, this is all pure speculation, but just like, yeah.
So anyway, apparently he got his start sometime in June or September of 2007. The author of this post thinks it was sometime more like in June, because it was one of his first songs, or he was already collaborating with people by September of 2007.
Yeah.
Which also shows how like cool he was that he was already collaborating like 3 months.
Right.
Not that long after he started. So,
I thought it was also...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was looking at the next paragraph right below that, and we will link it. But like, he did take down all his stuff. And this is where the person says, like, we only have his stuff survives because of like reposts, whereas like all of Zico's old stuff is still available. So I'm like, was it his choice to take it all down? Was there something he like didn't want people to see? That's when you're like, no one needs my 40,000 high school photos of like prom. Like what, like what's the impetus here?
Yeah, I wonder if and I guess we'll get to it or either we talk about it here, but he has a moment later on, like in 2010, 2011, where he feels like he tanks a performance pretty much. And he was like, F it. And this is what I was watching today during the Rolling Hall concert. He had a mint during that concert. He was talking about how important it was for him to do a show at Rolling Hall because he's always wanted to be on the stage and do it. And he tells the story of how he was auditioning for some other agency. I want to say, I forget what it was called. They say it later in here. But anyway, he's auditioning for it and he like tanks that audition pretty much. And he was like, F it, I'm not a rapper anymore, because he forgot his lyrics. He's like, he said he shaved his head and then went to a private school. Like, it sounded really dramatic. He was like, I can't do this ever again. Like, you know when you go through a breakup and you're like, I'm dying my hair.
Yeah, you know what will fix me? Changing my hair. Yeah.
Stop tune. He was like, I'm a new person. I'm shaving my head. I forget hip hop. So I wonder if in that moment, was he like, taking all my stuff off the internet, like
in a moment of like anger. Yeah,
yeah.
It was interesting reading this, and I wish we had more of this. It's not that I want to hear like, well, maybe it's, I was gonna say, it's not that I want to hear like, tell me your deep dark secrets, like what keeps you up at night, like the really existential questions. But at the same time, I'm like, it honestly like humanizes them. I think we like take this narrative, especially in the early days where we're like, Namjoon was the best, like he's so famous, and like I think it's true, like you said, he's collaborating with people after 3 months. Like people saw him and were like, I need to get his number, or like we can't make this track without him, or like it's cool, I don't want to sell him short. But like there's something really human about that, like knowing that Namjoon knows what it feels like to like experience rejection or like have a bad moment where you like stumble, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I don't know. I won't go on my long tangent, but I'm like, oh, okay. So it's not like he's some godlike being that like has never had a bad experience, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder if it was harder for him, because in some of these, some of these posts in the threads, let me find this one because it was hilarious. There's specifically a thread from, I'm assuming it's a website, it's called DC Hip Hop Gallery, back in August of 2008, where somebody asked what it felt like to diss Namjoon. Now, mind you, Namjoon's like 14.
Dang.
He's like 14, and in this post, people are like, I wonder what it feels like to curse at Runch Ronda. And they're like, it feels bad. Just scared shitless, even as you do it. Please take this as a joke. So I'm like, he was that good at rapping, clearly everyone had like so much like respect for him or whatever, or knew his like rapping, his skills were of a higher level, and so maybe you're having this moment where, not that you're like, you think you're better than everyone, but you know, like, you know who you are and you're like confident in your abilities, and then when it's your time to shine and you have a moment of, I don't want to call it failure, but you know, you stumble a little bit. Did that moment, did that make it even harder for him? Which was why he was like, F it, I'm shaving my head and like changing schools. Because it was a harder pill to swallow, because I'm supposed to be Runch Ronda. Like, how am I having this moment? If I can't even remember my lyrics, how can I be a rapper or call myself a rapper? So I wonder if that was what was making it so hard for him, or for him to do something so drastic as to be like, F it, deleting everything, shaving my head, forget rap.
I mean, failure is so difficult. No one likes it, right? But to feel like you failed in such a public manner, especially when you're like 14. I feel like when I was 14, like every single thing was life or death. Like
100%.
I don't know, is it the raging hormones, like what is it, the like lack of life experience, but like every single thing you're like, this is the end. Like,
yeah, I mean, you don't know any better, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like, how do you like emotionally regulate yourself, you know?
Right.
Especially in like a career like this, like, I think Namjoon says at first his parents were kind of hesitant, or maybe his mom was more hesitant. Like, and this was in that comic that you shared. And then his dad was like, no matter what you do, like, give it your all or whatever. So I can see, like, if your parents have really high expectations for you to do some professional career and you're like, I'm gonna pursue this more like unstable career, to then like mess up. I actually was thinking about this quite a lot. Like, I admire him and the other members, but like, how do you square like parental expectations of you with like what you want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're like 14. So how many dreams, I mean, I feel like we've talked about this in other ways, but you're like, I'm gonna do X when I'm 14, and people are like, that's nice, sweetie, like, you know, how do you maintain? Like, I just wish I had that absolute unwavering clarity. So I guess hearing that he wavered like a little bit, also I was like, okay, like, I just can't relate to like unwavering confidence because I'm so wrecked by self-doubt, you know?
Right.
So anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I won't trauma dump on the podcast, but I've also had similar experiences of your parents having expectations of what it is that, what they want for you to do in life, or what they think you're capable of doing in life. And it's like, well, that's cool, but I want to do this. I think I could be great at this. And sometimes I wonder if I had continued or had the resources to be able to pursue what it is that I wanted to do when I was a child, where would I be at? But I don't know. Also, in the words of Namjoon, where did he say this? He said this on some live or some interview I was reading, where he was saying something about how he related to like the recent Doctor Strange stories or movies, where it's like your timeline that you're in right now is what you're supposed to be doing. Like, appreciate it. It's better to like focus on the present than it is to think about all the other things that you could be doing. So I'm taking his advice on that.
Yeah.
And so yeah, kudos to him for believing in his ability and pursuing his passions.
I think, like, not only circling back to like Namjoon's earlier days, I think, like, I found it really interesting. I don't know if I realized that he collabed with Changmo so early. So this is the same guy that was on Wine, which Yoongi produced later. But they were collaborating in September of 2007. So he was the one like 3 months later, right? Like, I don't know. And I knew about DH. Was it DHP?
DNH?
DNH. I knew about DNH, his later crew, but I did not know about Black Pirates at all.
I didn't either.
It's funny, too, because he's like, they say, this person says he left the group seemingly because he felt they were too focused on fame rather than the music. That's kind of ironic considering like how famous he is now.
But I feel like it makes sense, and it's still true to him today. I feel like, isn't that why he's kind of, or why they as a group were kind of struggling? Well, isn't that the kind of the reason why they were having issues in 2018? Same now. Struggling with the levels of fame that they had, when really they just want to be artists, just want to make music. Like, I didn't really sign up for this. I just wanted to rap. So he's stuck to the same narrative throughout.
I wonder
life,
how
so.
You like how do you square that, right? When you're like, I want to make music and I want people to listen to my music, but I also don't want to be famous. Like,
yeah. I wonder if the way these people were pursuing fame felt like gimmicky or weird.
I could
not
see
so
it.
Much about not wanting to be famous, but the things they might have been doing in order to get famous.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Might have been weird for him.
Yeah, it's interesting. They say 2008 was the year that Namjoon's profile really raised in the underground scene. and a lot of the old songs that we have come from this year. He also went through several name changes, which caused some fans to be confused. Beside Runtaranda, he also used the names Largo and The Nexus, which he mentioned in Mon Voyage 2. And in one of the diss tracks, he says, oh, it's actually, I don't know. Is it Fetian? I don't know. He wrote Nexus, a.k.a. Chomshim, in his post, which confirms that The Nexus and Runtaranda were the same person because Chomshim is the Korean word for lunch, and lunch when written in Hangul is the same as runch. So I'm like, so you have lunch in addition to runch. Runtaranda, Ronda, The Nexus.
I'm assuming he, like, dropped the runch part. It seems, sounds like he dropped the runch part because people were making fun of him for having that, because runch sounds funny. So it was like, I'm just gonna go by Ronda. Again, like, here he is, like, trying to find himself, going through, like, 15 different stage names.
Well, how often was I, like, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say the one, the change that we all know of that didn't happen, right. Like, that happened not too long ago. So.
Yeah. Well, and he was like 14, 15, right? So, like, how many times were you, I'm also dating myself here, but like changing your AOL screen name, or like, what's the best way, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm like, what's it like to get a diss track at the age of 14?
I would just cry. Like, he must have the thickest skin, because I'm just, like, not. I would be like, stop bullying me. I'm just a baby. Oh, my God.
Somebody dissing me over beats at 14, we would be beefing hard. Like, it would be so serious.
He has his little, like, burn book or whatever, like, in his room at home. Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, this, like, 94's Paradise club lineup at 6:30 p.m. I don't know. Even though it's, like, relatively early in the night, it's like, what are you doing at a club at, like, 14, 15?
Club at DGBD Drug.
Yeah.
Is that $7 entrance? Like, I wish I could get $7 for...
I know. Imagine being able to say you saw them for $7 in 2009.
Oh. That's where I'm like, if you were here back then, like, please step forward. Let me just, like, bow down before you.
I know. I want to, like, talk to Korean fans that were there from, like, jump, like, when this stuff was happening, or even just, like, pre-debut. We need a translator, and I don't have the funds, so, like, I don't know. Like, I really want to make that happen.
Was Sleepy the one that was being, like, a huge jerk to them later?
I don't think Sleepy was ever a jerk to them.
Oh, okay. Because I thought it was interesting that, like, in August 2009, this is... Oh, Big Deal Squad, that's what you were talking about. And this is the one he was saying he forgot his lyrics and he was, like, upset. But interestingly, it says, his performance must not have been as terrible as he made it out to be, because it was enough for Sleepy from Untouchable to go up to him after the show and get his contact info. It's possible that Sleepy may have already known Namjoon from his song postings online, blah blah blah, since that's what he showed P-Dog later. This seems to be a case where either Namjoon or Sleepy isn't telling the whole truth. If Namjoon's performance was really bad, Sleepy probably knew about him beforehand and sought him out because of that. If he didn't know of him beforehand, Namjoon was probably being overly critical about his performance. Like, I did so bad. Well, that's still, like, the show that you had to go through to, like, meet Sleepy and P-Dog and Bong PD.
Which also, I would believe it if he was just being, like, ridiculously hard on himself, because they do that even till this day.
Yeah,
so
right.
I wouldn't be surprised if the performance wasn't as bad as he actually thought it was. Or it didn't matter because maybe Sleepy had already had, you know, heard of him and his work before, it was like, I know you can do well. Let's give this guy a shot, which is nice. Someone's like, no, like, hold on, this guy can't stop yet. Like, we...
yeah.
I need to help him out.
Well, it's interesting because, like, as you said, it says that he, like, seemingly stepped back until he got a call in May 2010. So it's, like, kind of like, I don't know, this is a bad analogy, but, like, when my friends are, like, who are, like, dating someone that they met online, they're like, it was the last date I was going to go on. Like, I was over it. Or, like, I just decided I was, like, done with the whole thing. And then, like, you know, they meet their partner and it's been great ever since. It's, like, that moment of, like, final, like, F this. I'm done with all of this. And then someone's like, hello. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I also thought it was interesting, like, Bong PD was, like, they didn't have any artist training or recruitment. So, like, what, they just bring Namjoon on and they're, like, figure it out, like, do whatever you want. Like, what did his trainee days look like compared to everyone else who came later, you know?
Yeah, this is where I was, I know this is 2010, but this is where I was getting a little confused with what we know and read, at least from the book that we just read, and they were like, Hobi was the first artist to be in BTS, I guess, as we know it. This, yeah, this right here is where it starts getting muddy for me. Because that was, like, news for us when we were reading the book.
Yeah. I guess I would take that to be true, since that's more recent. This thread is 5 years old and might be based off of, like, what we knew at the time.
Right.
You know?
Because we know there was a BTS before there was BTS, and it had, like, Supreme Boy and Namjoon's other friends, and
we're like, Fresh. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
those guys.
Just some dudes, whatever.
Yeah. So I'm like, how did that work out? Because wouldn't Namjoon have already been there? Was he just in a different dorm? And Hobi joined the BTS and the dorm as we know it today first. While Namjoon Yoongi was just in that other group. I don't know. Like, how does this... I need someone to explain that to me. Like, somebody connect this thread and then the book.
I wonder, because, like, Hobi was recruited first, they said, but I recall, and I don't remember the timeline, but I recall them saying that he trained from Gwangju for, like, a bit.
Yeah.
So maybe it was, like, simultaneous. Hobi's on board from Gwangju, and then, like, Namjoon's in Seoul, but, like, not really living in the dorm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting, though, because they say he was the first male trainee at Big Hit, which we now know not to be true.
Yeah.
Unless, like, Hobi was earmarked for some other group. Right? It was, like, rap crew, dance crew, whatever crew, you know?
Yeah. I wonder what that feeling is like of knowing that something good is going to come of this, like, placing all your bets on Namjoon. Like, I don't know what to do with him, but I need him here right now because this guy is going to be something later.
How do you, figure it out later? Bong PD, a grown man, also not be like, I have no plan for you. I have no idea what you're going to do, but you're great, and I think you're the best. Like,
right.
I don't know. I feel like Namjoon's parents would have been like, you know, like.
Well, and then, like, at that time, I don't know how early on glam started, but wasn't Bong PD mostly doing, like, singers?
Yeah, because it does say here that he was managing, like, other male singers, but not, like, rappers, right? Or yeah. Other male artists. And I did not know, actually, I saw this later, that Namjoon wrote or co-wrote, like, Glam's debut track. Like, I thought Glam was already up and running at this point. I guess they, like, rose quickly. Yeah, it says in 2012, all of the members were in place and the lineup is finalized. In addition to working on songs for BTS's debut, Namjoon also worked on Glam's debut song, Party XXO, in the follow-up. I like that.
Yeah. My thought was, how do you, as Namjoon, think, well, let me choose this guy? Like... he has no way to prove that, like, he can actually do what he says he's going to do for you, right? Because where are the rappers? Where are the, like, artists? You can't really see it, so I don't know. It's a lot of faith going on there between the two of them. Like, I don't know where this is going, but let's do it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Between the lack of the, like, training process and, like, bringing him on with no plan, I had the thought that, like, Namjoon's, like, really good with ambiguity and, like, taking things as they come, or he has, like, an extremely high suffering threshold if he's not good with ambiguity, right? Like, yeah. How do you, and I guess that ties into your point, like, he doesn't really have a plan, he's mostly focused on singers, he has this girl group he's working on, like, he's like, you should come be in my tiny garage company, and you're like, cool, yeah, you're not like,
Yeah, and looking at this poster they have up here of this 94 Paradise Volume 2 Daenon Hope's Night thing, or like the guest list, are familiar names on here with, like, yeah, members from Block B, including Zico, Changmo, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Suprema, who I'm assuming is Supreme Boy.
Yeah, it is. They say it down below.
Sick K even. So it's like, I don't know. It's just interesting to know that all these people have, like, run around in the same circles. And we've heard about some of these names before. But yeah, I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool.
It's at the same club again, and entrance is still 7001. Screaming into the void. I wonder, like, okay, let me slap, like, 40 disclaimers on here. I feel like now there's a lot more focus on, like, rap in K-pop, but that was not always the case. Like,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people were trained in, like, I'll say the bare minimum of rapping, let's say, and I'll leave it at that. So with no, like, disrespect to Namjoon, I wonder, like, if he wasn't really being recruited by other people. Like, especially if he'd kind of stopped and, like, was taking a step back after his perceived, like, bad performance. And, like, so Bang PD calls him up with this kind of, like, I don't have a plan for you. I'm mostly focused on this girl group right now. Like,
yeah.
I don't really know, but, like, if he's the one knocking at your door, maybe you're like, dang, this is it. Like, this is my chance. You know what I mean? You're not really, like, shopping around. Not that Namjoon shouldn't. Like, I think he's wonderful, as hopefully everyone that listens to knows. But, like, who knows in 2010, like, what the vibe was for an underground rapper versus, like, someone with vocal experience. Like, we know people were, like, knocking down JK's door, for example.
Yeah. Probably why they were having such a hard time. I know, I'm sure people were probably like, well, this is a choice.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's kind of what I'm, like, hinting at, right? Like, in retrospect, we're like, Namjoon built big hit from the ground up. Like, wow, like, it's so easy now knowing that they're successful. But I'm sure back in the day, he's like, I met this man and he has a garage. And people are like, okay, like, please be safe, you know?
Yeah. Especially because at that time, wasn't the sound just like, I don't know, this, like, super pop club sound? I don't know how to explain it. So they were definitely doing something different.
Yeah. Well, and as we know from the set list, and or not set list, the, like, lineup, it was originally, like, much more rap focused. And then BTS were constantly being roasted for being, like, a hip hop boy group, even in the early days, right? After they switched it up a lot. So, yeah.
Which I also find interesting because even despite all of that, BTS were still like monster rookies. Like that was literally what they were called at the time. They won like a rookie award like straight out of the gate. So they were never like incredibly down bad or like people didn't like them. You know? Right. So like I don't know. It's just like they were doing, people were definitely supporting them, but I guess the voice of haters. You could have like 10 supporters, but you have that one hater and you hear it more than you hear the people that are cheering for you. Yeah. So.
I started to become curious about, I'm excited for our other member episodes and I won't go too far down this path right now, but like, I feel like I did know a lot of this about Namjoon, and even though it's still like really murky, I didn't know some of his names. Like I knew like the general progression that he had. I knew the like general schematics of the story as we know it, right? And I'm like, okay, but like simultaneously to this, like what was Yoongi doing down in Daegu, you know? And like I started to look, and there's a similar thread by this author that we'll get to later about like what Yoongi was up to, but I feel like for as little as we know about the pre-debut days, like we know a lot about Namjoon's pre-debut days compared to everyone else. And maybe that's my own knowledge. I shouldn't generalize, but
no, I would agree with you. I was kind of wondering like, all right, once we get past the rap line, like what are we gonna do? Just well, because I feel like the others have been a lot school. More. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, probably in elementary school if Namjoon's in middle school at this time. Right. Yeah.
They've been a lot more private, as well as just the fact that Namjoon and Yoongi were well more known. And even Hobi were well more known for what it was that they were doing, as opposed to, like you just said, JK was a middle schooler. What do you talk about in his life prior? Or, I don't know, Jimin dancing, like, we know that part quite well, but I've seen more, like, hot takes and threads of the rap line's debut than, well, I would say more so just RM and Suga. I feel like Hobi's is more recent. We've gotten more of a look into his backstory because he shared it. So I'm like, what are we gonna do when we get to the other members?
I guess just talk more. I mean, we don't only have to talk about pre-debut stuff, I guess.
Right.
But yeah.
I mean, it would be nice to have that conversation, but maybe there's stuff out there and we just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's see. Seems like by 2011 he had his last underground concert with DNH. And I was watching the Namjoon's Four Things show. That super early interview they did, I want to say, in 2014, a feature on Namjoon, and he was lamenting about how he wasn't able to join, like, Daehyun's mixtape, I want to say it was, and he was sad about that. So, this tracks, at least, that he wasn't really a part of the crew anymore once he started doing BTS things.
Yes. Sorry, I saw my battery was at 2%. And I was like, let me plug in. Let me not live that life. Me and Tay, 5% battery crew.
Because at 5%, your iPhone is like glitching. It's like, not.
Well, I'm at 2%. We made it here. Right? Yeah.
So how is he even on FaceTime with JK at 5%? Did the conversation just cut? Like, I want to know how that conversation is. Weren't the BTS members in Glam's music videos?
Jimin like is like definitely background? Was okay. Yeah, I think I maybe also
a few others.
Yeah I remember like I once went on a deep dive to look for like every Jimin pre-debut appearance that I could find. There's not that many, but I do remember him in one of the Glam videos.
Yeah. I'm amazed by the people that can follow people from pre-debut, because like I really don't know unless the group was on some kind of survival show or until they actually debut. Like I know that was like a thing at some point where it was like trying to follow people from pre-debut, probably so that you could say that I was there from pre-debut.
Yeah, it's a flex. Like,
how do y'all even find this information out?
I just think, like, I know that, like, those elimination shows have become really popular. And, like, I don't know. I'll watch, like, a baking elimination show or something else. I don't know. But, like, when I think about how attached I am to, like, every single member of BTS, I can't see the group functioning without any one of them or, like, any other configuration. And I would just, like, really... really, really super hate to, like, get attached to someone that ends up, like, not debuting or, like, leaving the group really soon, you know?
Yeah. My, my favorite thing is to watch the survival show and then to, like, get mad when they don't pick the people that I think should be in the group and then just, like, or to be excited about whoever they put into the group and then, like, barely interact with the group after that. Like, it's like watching the show.
Yeah.
Oh god.
I can't do it. I can't. Not for something. And to see, like, again, like, so young, their dreams being crushed or whatever, I can't do it. It's one thing, like, yeah, my cake didn't set properly. Like, you will bounce back from this. You will be okay. You know?
Yeah. It's like, I might listen to your songs, but maybe not even. I think I just like yelling at producers' choices. Which is probably what's wrong with society. But anyway, this is about RM.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pre-debut. I mean, I think we've talked a lot in previous episodes about them actually coming together as a group. I think we did that not too long ago, didn't we?
Yeah, I think it's part of, like, reading the book, right?
Reading the book, but also, wasn't there some person, it might have been this person they mentioned in the thread a lot, June, who was a trainee with Big
Oh,
Hit,
yeah, yeah.
And we watched, like, some interview yes. that this person did
yep.
on Vice, I think.
Yep, yes, I remember that. I was wondering if it was the same person. I wasn't sure, but I know that he's a YouTuber, so...
Yeah, I was wondering yeah. if it was the same person too, but I'm like, it kind of adds up, because I think in the interview, he was also, like, wanting to be a YouTuber, or, like, wanting to be famous or something like that. So I'm like, I'm assuming this is the same guy, I don't know. Yeah, go back and listen to that episode if you haven't listened to it yet. But anyway, this is a long episode, so we can talk yeah. about RM's solo works.
Yeah.
Next.
There's a lot. I feel like we've also talked about this before, because we did a deep dive into some of his, like, older tracks, right? And yeah. I remember saying that you are, like, the queen of RM deep cuts, like... You've educated me throughout the time that we've been on this podcast. So I guess I would recommend that we talk about, like, our favorite tracks of his or something, rather than go through all of them, because we'll be here for 3 more hours, because he has a lot.
I did listen to Mono and Indigo today in preparation. I know he has a mixtape before that, but that's not on Spotify. But anyway, and I did have the thought, like, okay, I personally think that Indigo is, like, the better release of all of these that he's had out, at least from those official works. I think it's, like, a really, like, clean, refined piece of work. And I think it tells the story well. Mono is incredibly sad, like, listening to it, and I'm like, yeah, this is when I'm, like, super emo. Put this on. Like, when it's raining, I put this on, and it was raining, so it was fitting.
I love Mono, but, like,
it is really good.
Yeah, Indigo is just, like, I don't know. That'll be like my top five albums of all time. Like, I don't know. They'll put me in the grave with a copy of Indigo. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Mono was definitely a moment. I think it's cool, though, that he does have these pieces that you can think of at different periods in your life. And I believe he was saying that in Rolling Hall. That's what he wanted to do with Indigo. Like, as you grow older and you experience different moments in your life, like, I hope you will think of certain songs off this album or think of the album in general. And I feel like every winter now, I think of Indigo. It just gives that vibe. Probably because it came out a year ago. but it reminds me of a more fond time. And I can think of exactly where I was when I first heard it. And I feel like for years to come, I'll think of the crisp New York air while listening to it.
I love albums that can give you such like a strong sense of like time or place, right? People talk about like sense being like a number one like memory trigger, but I feel like music has to be, I don't know this scientifically, but like has to be a close number two, right? Because it can take you like right back to where you were.
Favorite song. How do you pick a favorite song? It's like picking your favorite child.
I don't know. Pick like your top two or three. I don't.
I would say from. I want to say from Indigo, it's either Yoon or Closer. I want to say it's Yoon by like 5 points.
highly scientific.
Yeah, exactly. From Mono, Forever Rain. From his first mixtape, I believe. From his random other tracks. I think I talked about this before. He had a feature, and I forget this person's name. The song is called You, though. I think it's called You. Let me look. I can hear it in my head, but let me make sure that's the title of the song. Yeah. It's not gonna be on here. Because...
Yeah, Primary featuring Kwon Jina.
Yes.
It's that was under his song. Rap Monster era. I had to scroll all the way back up. That was a 2015 collab.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's my favorite, like, feature. So, that's still true. How about for you?
Ugh. I don't like when the question is turned back on me. I ask the questions, I don't answer the questions. No. okay, so I'm going to choose Change off of Indigo. That, like, friggin' key change that happens. I don't know. I remember hearing, I don't know if this is like a fave, but it just holds like a special place in my heart. The Champion Fall Out Boy remix in 2017 was so random. It was so random, but I loved it so much. That one's fun. I love Smoke Sprite. Yeah. I think a throwback one. I'll say Buku Buku is really fun. That's like when you're hyped and you want to party. That's a 2015 one. Off of Mono. I don't know. I listened to that just like on loop, so I'm just going to say all of Mono. I'm going to cheat. Yeah. I'm looking at this list and I'm like, this is my favorite. This is my favorite. I'll just stop there because I could just get stuck here. The last one I'll say is Good.
Okay.
I gotta keep it all moving, though.
All good choices.
Yeah.
All good choices. I wonder if I, like, approached him and was like, do you remember that song you did with Primary? Would he even remember that? So long
ago. This is your, like, if you meet him moment. You're, like, how you differentiate yourself. You're, like, can you sing your part from you? And exactly. He's like, what? And you're like, what? Yeah. I love Namjoon a lot.
A normal amount. Crying with Ryu is a good track, too. I go back to that often.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, none of these are bad. Even Sexy Nougum, which, like, I don't listen to that much just because, like, the super deep growly voice, I'm like, I'm unwell. Like, for my own wellness, I don't listen to the track that often. Right?
You know, I was watching that Rolling Hall performance that he did, and I was thinking that, like, the little choreo he does with it, or the group does, and how, like, feral we went. And I was watching it and I was thinking, if any other person was doing this choreo, would we have the same reaction? Because, like, the choreo itself isn't that crazy, but it's Namjoon doing it. And, like, he's not wearing that outfit in Rolling Hall, but whatever that performance he did at W Korea where he was doing it, and he's, like, in that freaking turtleneck.
Stop.
And he's, like, beefy, and it's like, I don't know, I was just laughing, like, I don't know, armies are next level, because if anybody else was doing this, we would be like, okay, give us nothing, when he does it.
Oh, I feel when like he does it, it's like, woo! I know, as I sink into my own turtleneck, like, woo. Oh my god. Yeah. Honestly, we should have included that in the Roman Empire episode, because I think about that outfit... like, probably more than is legal. But, like, again, if I had to share, like, every unhinged thought I had, we'd be here for hours and no one would listen. They'd be like, that girl is nuts. I mean, you might think that anyway, but, like, I promise you, this is, like, with the filter.
Yeah.
Okay, since we're talking about Beefy June... Since we came here, like, we had, like, general things that we just, like, love about Namjoon. Like, it's not enough that he works hard and he's had this, like, long career and he's talented at rap. And, like, he also, like, glowed up to look like this. Like, it's unfair. It's really unfair. Like, how is he, like, they talk about, like, Namjoon's proportions and, like, it's too powerful. He's, like... I don't know, like, he's also the main character. It's just, like, how does he exist as, like, a real person? Like, obviously he does. But, like, yeah. That's why I like seeing that he can't cut onions, because I'm like, dude, like, you have to have a weak spot somewhere.
It's also humbling and very relatable to know that he also isn't aware.
That's part of it, too, because if he knew he was hot... Wouldn't it take away from his hotness if he was constantly, like, I don't know, like, being into himself?
I guess, but then I think about Jin, and he's, like, you know, talk about how he is.
That's true.
Maybe
when Jin is, like, I'm super hot, I'm like, you're right, hype yourself up. So maybe I would be the same way for Namjoon.
I was, there was some Instagram post that was absolutely hilarious of, like, and I just thought this was, like, a visual representation of my imposter syndrome. It also lets me know that Namjoon has the same thing. And he was at some, I don't know what it was. Oh, I think it was, like, this year's W Korea event. And he's, like, supposed to be walking out on the red carpet. And he just completely, like, goes left of the red carpet when he's supposed to be getting his picture taken. And he's just, like... standing there, he's posing, but, like, the people are looking at him like, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to be over here. And he's like, oh, me? Like, yes, you, the most famous person in the world, move over to the right carpet.
No, that carpet is for you. You should walk on that. I saw that too.
You're allowed to walk on that. It's here for you. Oh god, I'm like, this guy is so relatable.
You would think, yeah, I think that's, like, why I love all of them is, like, they're still, like, so humble. You would think they could have, like, some kind of, like, swag. Like, they do, they have swag when they need to. But you would think they would have some kind of, like, I'm the best type of, like, attitude or, like, you know, like,
Yeah.
They could be total, like, celebrity assholes at this point, and they're just not.
Yeah.
I mean, at least that we see, but... Yeah.
Alright, favorite Nam June things.
I already brought us here, but just, like, everything. I love his dimples. I think more importantly than, like, the physical aspect, like, the reason he became my bias was, like, the way that he talks about things and all his lives, and he's so, like, philosophical. I mean, we've often joked, right? You're either having, like, an in-depth talk with him at the party, or you're like, dude, I'm just trying to, like, have a good time, right? But I kind of, like that. If you can't tell from him, I'm like, but how does he overcome adversity? Like, how does he feel, like, getting rejected? I'm like, tell me all the sad things. Like, let's have this deep talk, right? Like, I just love how, like, caring he is and, like, how hard he works and, like, it cannot have been easy to be the go-between between the label and the members, right? Especially, like, maybe now it's easier, but especially in, like, the early days, right? I just, like, have mad respect for him. And also, he happens to be beautiful. Like, I don't know. Like, actually looking respectfully, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. All the same things. I was watching his latest V-Live, and I just found it interesting. He would get questions that you would think would be, like, relatively, like, straightforward, but, of course, being Namjoon, he would, you know, be more complex and philosophical with it. It was like, I think someone asked him, like, what's your greatest fear? And he was like, myself. And he just, like, goes on this rant. about him fearing himself, whereas, like, I don't know, I probably would have been like roaches, and he's you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're expecting him to be like him. Spiders or like losing, yeah. I don't know, like Bangtan falling apart, and he'll be like the psyche, like my own psyche,
exactly. Or even something simple, it could have been like not simple, but something you would expect, like death. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, no, myself. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think someone also asked him, like, what's your perspective on beauty? And then he goes on, like, this rant about beauty and ugliness of being, like, on two sides of the same coin and, like, finding the beauty and ugliness and things. And I don't know. It was just like, this is such an obvious answer. It was perfect, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, his brain, I'm like, it's amazing. I recalled that Problematic Men show that he was on, and all those, like, riddles and tough questions that he could answer and be like, ooh, how hot. But also at the same time, I want to, like, argue with him, which is weird.
Is it weird? Is it weird? Everyone? Is it weird?
I don't know.
You're like, why do I want to fight you right now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to be like, you're wrong. And he's not wrong, but I just want to argue with.
Delusions. Because why do I know exactly what you're talking about?
Exactly. But anyway. Yeah. Everything about him. Flaws and all. He's a great guy.
Other than asking him to sing his part in You, what would you ask him if you could meet him as, like, a parting thought?
I don't know. I've had this thought a thousand times, and now in the moment, I can't think of what it is that I would say. I think it would just be cool to sit down and talk about life and get his perspective on it. Which would take forever. That would be hours long.
I mean, that's why you choose it, right?
Yeah. Or I'd even just want to do silly things like sing some song we like together. You know this song? And then we just start vibing. I don't know.
Quickly becomes a dance party. Like, move the expensive art to the edge of the coffee table. Or, like, to the other room. Yeah.
any little thing. I was thinking, you know, in watching all of these things that I was watching, and how incredibly hard it must be for him to have to grow up in the eyes of the public. I mean, we know JK's done the same thing as well, all of them really, but to do so as like the leader of BTS, and I feel like he is constantly trying to like prove himself to others that he is like worthy of being in the place where he should be, where that's of like trying to prove that he is you know, a rapper turned idol and that there's nothing wrong with that, or trying to prove that BTS should be in the place that they're in. I don't know, trying to prove to himself who he is, learning more about himself. I don't know. I like feel bad for the guy sometimes. I'm sure that's a lot to take on. We've talked about But Namjoon 1,000 times. Having to make mistakes in front of everyone and have to be constantly reminded of those mistakes. I don't know. I really feel for him, but I admire his tenacity and his ability to keep pushing forward, his passion for things, even some things that I'm like, I normally wouldn't think about or wouldn't spend as much time on it as he would, like about love and all of those things that it means and the different forms of it. And boy, is it raining hard. Like, can people hear this on the track? The earth is crying because we're talking about Namjoon and he's not here.
They're like, it's away in the millet.
I don't know. It's been great watching him evolve over the years, and I look forward to seeing what he does when he gets back. And looking back on this 10 years from now and being like, that was the Namjoon of then. That was the Namjoon as we know him now, and what he'll be like in the future. Yeah.
I saw some comment in the thread, and it was basically addressing the, like, But Namjoon thing and, like, growing up kind of in the limelight. And they were like, at each phase of life, like, you should look back and, like, think the things that you said and did before were cringy, right? Because it's a sign of growth. And, like, yeah, there have been moments, right? And I do feel like Namjoon catches a lot of heat. But he's already, like, this powerful, as we were just saying. Like, I don't know if I'm ready for Namjoon 10 years in the future. Like, he's already, like, I don't know. Where do we go from here, I guess is my point.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being more delusional for this man, so I need to, like, train hard in the next 10 years. Need to strengthen myself. Like, Namjoon, like, sanity training montage or something for myself.
Especially because we're, like, almost the same age. And I'm like, whatever age he is, I'm, like, right there. And I don't want to think about me 10 years into
Yeah, no, let's not. We've talked about this before. Pre-pandemic, I used to be, like, such a person with a plan. Now I'm like, bro, I'm trying to make it through the next day, week, month, year, you know.
Yeah. I'm just out here. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this was so fun. I feel like we should wrap it up. It's getting late. Do you have any parting comments you want to share about Namjoon?
No. Other than love you and miss you. See you soon. Don't listen to this.
No, like 100% do not. So it's for army ears only. Late
if you already have. But
yeah. Just like forget don't be about in it the very barracks quickly.
Listening to this.
Yeah.
Oh God.
We'll see if like our like Korea listens, because like we can see country and city only. If it's suddenly like the countryside, that's when we need to be concerned. That's when I'm like, we're done. Like, we immediately know.
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go to bed. I better dream about this man tonight.
That'll do it for today's episode of Girls Was Fun. We will see you next time.
Bye.